Just know that if you hear me getting it up, always say bless it, Lord, bless it. All right, ready? This morning, remember I told you last week that I was going to start something about how you had to fight for it. In this last day and time, if you really want what God's got for you, then you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to give it all you got. You're going to have to step out in a way like you've never stepped out before. You're going to have to trust Him like you've never trusted Him before. And you got to watch through something special. So for the next, I don't know how many weeks, we're going to be talking about courageous living. Amen? Courageous living. First, let me say this. First, let me do this. All right. Three aspiring psychiatrists were attending their first class on emotional extremes. Just to establish some parameters, said the professor to the students from Arkansas, what is the opposite of joy? Sadness, said the student. And the opposite of depression, he asked the young lady from Oklahoma. Elation, she said. And you, sir, he said to the young man from Texas, how about the opposition of woe? The Texas replied, sir, I believe it would be giddy up. All right. Mark that one. Do not use it again. All right. God's got this. Courageous living. Let's just pray. Father, I love you, Lord. Put your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to bring your word, Father, in a very powerful way. Lord, I know, God, that the devil would not want us to hear this message today, but God, we're going to give him a black eye, and we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name, and we thank you for it all, because we know that you got it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, the Father, I must forgot. Remember, on March 22nd, the ladies are having a ham dinner. They're replenishing their funds. It's a ham dinner, and it's really, really good, and it's $10 per plate, which is very good. I bought some Boy Scout plates yesterday. They were $15. So $10 is very, very good. So remember, on March 22nd, we're going to want to support the ladies and get us some ham. Amen? And if you can't eat ham, then eat stuff around and give it to the person beside you. You'll make sure the person beside you will enjoy getting that ham. Go ahead, Manny.
Bethany's Angels has a meeting today at 3 o'clock.
And Bethany's Angels has a meeting today at 3 o'clock.
The ladies are selling tickets in advance.
And the ladies are selling tickets in advance to the ham dinner. Not the Bethany's Angels, but to the other one. You would get some of that too. Really? Praise God. My wife always gets on me. She says, why you got to swallow so fast? I said, I don't swallow fast. I just swallow when I reckon I breathe at the same time. And there it goes. And that's what happened this morning. I will be okay, I promise. All right. Courageous living in the land of giants. Now, we're going to read some scripture, but I want to pave the way here just a little bit. Can you imagine standing up to get somebody twice your size? The average Israeli at the time was about 5'1 to 5'5. Here's a man here that is anywhere between 10 foot, 11 foot. He's a big, big man, so it's twice his size. And he's having to fight him all alone. Like everybody else, even the biggest man in Israel, is sitting back, hiding behind the trees, watching. Wow. Let's go ahead and read this. I put it up here. Maybe too small for you to read. If it is, you want to get your Bible out and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gather their armies together, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah. They encamp between Socah and Ascah in Es-Damim, which is the Valley of Blood. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they were encamped in the Valley of Elah, and drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them. Think about this now. Here's David going to stand in the valley, and there's people on both sides on the mountain. So if they're on the mountain, either they're going up or they're coming down. In your life, there's going to be people around you. They're either going up or they're going down. But no matter what, as you see all this happening, many times you have to fight by yourself. And the champion, whenever we came into the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and his span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. We'll talk about all that in a minute. And a shield bearer went before him, that he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you the servants of Saul? Choose a man from yourselves and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I rebel against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me one man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let me go ahead and move on a little bit. I want to talk about, I'm going to build this case here. Now today is going to be a little different. This is the beginning. We're going to, how many weeks is going to be? We're going to talk about David and Goliath in a whole different way, maybe in a way you can think of as when police are investigating something, they build the case. Well, we're going to build the case along the way. Or when you're trying to solve a problem, you build the case. We're going to build the case. We're starting it today. How many ever felt like that? How many, I say, I might have took your picture last week somewhere. A giant, listen carefully. A giant is anything that intimidates with its size, threatens with its power, and it seeks to take away, and it stands between you and victory. Wow, that would be a scary sight. And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's break this down a little bit. He said, "I defy the armies of Israel." There were the 5 E's to put off. To expose by stripping away. I want you to think about something. How many times have you thought you had it together or thought somebody with you had it together, and then when the going got really, really bad, when it got really, really rough, all of a sudden you began to see another side of that person that you thought had it all together? Maybe you thought you had it all together. But when it came down to it, as the battle pursued, you find yourself getting weaker, more afraid, and you find yourself, although you said you never would, like Peter to the disciples of Jesus before he was crucified, I will never deny your name. I will always stand up for you. But when the battle comes, when the giants come, it'll strip away that false pretense. It'll strip away that surface spirituality. It'll strip away what many standing around will consider courage. But as they move in to see, it's gone. It's not there. It said, I defy this army. And it said they were dismayed. They were dismayed means to break down by violence or confusion, to be beat down. In other words, Goliath for 40 days and 40 nights, 40 is the number of trial, 40 days and 40 nights, in the morning time and at night time, he says, we're not all going to fight. He said he was their champion, meaning, I'm going to come down in the valley, and you're going to send somebody down in the valley with me, and we're going to fight together as we take off. Some of y'all don't realize today that when you're in your valley, who you're fighting for. You may be fighting for your family. You may be fighting for your coworkers. You may be fighting for the generations ahead. You never realize just who you're fighting for, but you are a champion. And many times you're called to fight while the others are going up and down and can't figure it out. You're called upon to take on that giant. And so, when they heard this, they were shut down without. Then it said it was greatly. They were greatly. That word greatly is vehemently, which means to the smallest absolute part. They were shaking in their bones. Their vessels were shaking. Their toenails were shaking. Everything they had was scared. They were greatly afraid, which means to be in dread and fear, to be alarmed. So they were shut down without, when he said dismay, they were shut down within, when they became afraid. You may be here today, and you, for situations you've been going through, find yourself dismayed, shut down without. You may find yourself afraid of what's coming. You've been intimidated by the giant. Whatever, Israel was shut down. That's a terrible place to be. I remember watching Dances with Wolves, and I said it so many times, but I don't think I'd ever heard it. And Kevin Costner said, as long as he didn't go check out the Indians, while he's wearing that uniform, he was a target. And he said, a target's a very, very bad thing to be. If you're a child of God, if you claim Jesus as your personal Savior, there is a target on your back, and Satan is zeroing in every chance he gets. So let's go a little bit further here. Let's just talk about this giant. David and Goliath was about a literal giant. Giants come to put you in fear. That's why they're there. Satan uses the giants in your life to put you in fear. David stood and Israel stood in front of a real, live giant. A towering figure of intimidation and fear. Remember, I told you, he was anywhere between, depends on what cubic you use, he was anywhere between 9 foot and 11 foot tall. The average Israeli was 5'1" to 5'5". So he was double just about anybody. And the Bible says Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody else. So Saul was the likely candidate also being the king, the likely candidate to go out. But they all cowered in fear. So there's a 9 to 11 foot gargantuan. The Bible says that his coat was 5,000 shekels, which means his coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. Wow. 125 pounds of metal is around his chest, not including the armor, just the coat of mail. 125 pounds. It said the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. The average weaver's beam was between 8 and 9 foot wide. His spear was 8 to 9 foot, just the shaft was 8 to 9 foot long. And the head of that spear was 15 pounds. If you stand before that, now's a good time to start being a little bit intimidated. You see, Goliath was a seasoned warrior. He was a physical manifestation of fear that can grip us in our lives. When you think about it, giants today, we face might not be physical. We may not have an 11-foot giant coming at us with a 125-pound coat of mail and a 9-foot shaft or a spear, 15 pounds head. It can be physical. It can be situations. It can be circumstances. It can be struggles that seem insurmountable. And it causes us to tremble. Oh, outside, you tell everybody, it's cool. I got this. We got this. But remember, the fire needs to strip away. And Satan comes and starts stripping you down. You find out you weren't as big and bad as you thought that you were. These giants can take the form of financial difficulties, health issues, relationship problems, even spiritual vows. They grow and they loom in our life and they just keep expanding and expanding. And they begin to cast a shadow of fear and doubt. I watch people so ready. I'm here with you, Pastor. I'm here with you, Chaplain. I'm here with you, a preacher. I'm here. Let's go take them on. And when they go out and see, they go, you know what? I just remembered I left my pot on that house. I just remembered. Because they see what's going on and go, no. The battle is intense. It's not a joke. It's for your family. But not only is it for your family, it's for the generations that come. Because remember, Adam and Eve, he had to hit Adam and Eve first, because he knew if he hit Adam and Eve, then everything behind Adam and Eve would be corrupted. The same way he wants to get you, because he knows you may be fighting a battle that somebody before you started and never finished.
Yes.
Some generational curse. Something that 2 or 3 generations ago could have been stopped in its tracks, but they just kept perpetuating it and perpetuating it and perpetuating it. And it comes a time when you say, devil, the buck stops here.
Yes, yes.
Amen. And so we look. What you think about something? One of the most powerful emotions known to man is fear. Fear is a very deadly, deadly emotion. It can paralyze you. It can prevent you from moving forward. It can cloud your judgment. It can cause you to make poor decisions. It can cause you just to give up and play dead. It even caused you to question God. Wonder if God really is there. I hear this all the time. I hear it all the time. if God was there, where was he at when my child died? Where was he at when my spouse died? Where was he at? When I ran into this giant, where was he? And that fear hits us, we begin to feel small, insignificant, powerless. Just as the Israelites were left in the presence of Goliath, they were small, insignificant, they were powerless, shaking in their boots. David was one of eight brothers, and David was the only one out there not fighting, and David was not out there to fight. He was the youngest. He was a shepherd. His daddy said, can you go take lunch to your brothers? Okay. All right, Dad. And we'll talk about this next week, but he goes to take lunch to his brothers, and he hears all this going on. He sees everybody shaking in their boots, and he goes, what is y'all? Aren't y'all children of God? Can God handle this? Is there not a cause? And he got so vocal that he got Saul's attention. So let's keep on moving on just a little bit. I'm just building today, just getting started. Not only is it a powerful emotion, it's a deadly emotion. The Israelites were terrified of Goliath. They saw his size, they saw his strength, they saw his weapons, they saw everything was there, and here's what they did, and here's what we do. I find myself doing it myself. They focused on the giant before they focused on their God.
Yeah.
Wow. They allowed this fear to overshadow their faith. You know, I've been doing this for 30-something years, and I have discovered this is a very common response when people face giants. Instead of looking at the giant through the lens of a powerful God, they're looking at God through the lens of a powerful giant. One makes God big and the giant small, the other makes the giant big and God small. So we focus on the size of the problem, then the size of our God, and without fear to dictate our actions rather than allowing our faith to guide us. It's a terrible place to be. Not a spirit of powerful emotion. I love this. Psalm 47:7, for God is the King of all. Say it with me. For God is the King of all the earth. One more time. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing with understanding. Sing praises to God, understanding that He is the man. If I ever text you or say you the man, you go, he's the man, here's how I do it. I text it. If you ever notice, when I say you the man, I text you with little letters, serving the man, big letters. Because you're still a man, but you're a man because you're serving the man.
Yeah.
Amen? So, look at this. Giants that we face are real, and they're intimidating. Man, they're intimidating. I remember when D.C. was playing at Benson, a little farm school. He was one of the biggest ones out there. Matter of fact, he was the biggest one. Him and another guy, they're the biggest ones on football. They towered all over everybody. And basketball, same way. But then, when he graduated from 8th grade to 9th grade and went to a 4A school, not a little farm school, but a 4A school, South Charleston, he was out there practicing football, and I was going to go pick him up. He told me his number, and I went out and saw him. Man, these guys are big. I'm looking for DC's number with all of these guys. And all of a sudden, I looked down, and DC's helmet came to their numbers. And I went, oh. He said, "Daddy, I'm not a freshman, I'm fresh meat." I said, "Son, just make them sick at their stomach so they gotta spit you back out." Look at the Giants! Up till now, you've been good, you've been able to do it. It's like DC in eighth grade, boy, he can handle it. He was big, he was bad. But he got over there in the ninth grade, and got in that boys' school, and they find out that he was a little fellow. He's no longer a big fish in a little pond, he's a little fish in a big pond. I used to remind him of that all the time. Of course, getting hit two or three times, I didn't have to remind him anymore. We got to remember about these Giants. They're bigger than us, but they're never bigger than our God. Come on. Say it with me. We must remember that these Giants are not bigger than our God. Say it again. These Giants are not bigger than our God. Let's do this with me. They're not more powerful than our God. Y'all say that. They're not more powerful than our God. Now say this. They're not more capable than our God. Say this with me. Our God is bigger. Our God is stronger. Our God is more powerful than any giant in our lives. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Get ready to close. I love this 1 John 4. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You see what that is, don't you? A king getting knocked down by a pawn. God's greater inside it. Amen. Fear is a natural response to the giants in our lives. Some of us get upset with somebody when they start acting afraid, start backing up, and not realize, hey, you were there one day. You may be there another day. Don't ever look at somebody else and judge your journey by their journey. You have no idea what they've been through.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it's coming up shortly, we were talking about victorious living. There's going to be one of the sermons coming up is, if you only knew, because I don't look like what I've been through. Wow. So watch this. His reaction to the unknown, the uncertain, the overwhelming. No matter what it is, we cannot allow fear to control us.
Yes.
If fear controls you, then you honestly have no avenue, no clear road to victory.
Yes, that's true.
You got to face that giant. We must not let it dictate to us. Don't let it dictate our actions, our faith.
Right.
We got to remember that our God is bigger than our fear. He's bigger than our giants. He's bigger than anything that we got going on.
Yes.
Next. I love this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yes. Yes. Nothing.
Yes.
Fear is a tool of the enemy to separate us from God. The Bible says nothing can separate us from His love, but we can separate ourselves from His protection. We can separate ourselves from the fellowship. We, not God, because He wants you. No matter what, He wants you. And so it's a weapon, very powerful weapon that he wields, trying to make us doubt God's power. To doubt God's love, to doubt God's presence in our lives, but we must not let the enemy succeed.
Right.
We can't let y'all say we must not let the enemy succeed. Say it. We must not let the enemy succeed. Now say this. The buck stops here today. Say it with me. The buck stops here today. Give the Lord another hand clap and pray. You cannot let him use fear to travel wedge in between you and God. You got to stand up and understand that God's got you. He's got you 100%. There's not a part of your life that he don't have if you'll let him.
Yes.
Amen? Again, get ready to close. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I'm pulling in. I'm taxiing in. I love
him. Yeah, amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yes.
You go ahead and step down, giant. You ain't going to win.
Right.
Vivian? Brandon, you get ready, you get here and start playing something in a few minutes. Fear is a part of human experience, but it doesn't have to control us. It doesn't have to define us.
Yes.
Over the years, I got a chance to talk to some pretty powerful people. One of my favorite was Catfish Hunter. Y'all remember Catfish? DC was playing Catfish's son in baseball. This is before Catfish got Lou Gehrig's disease and he died. This is just where he got that. Or at least was diagnosed with. And I was sitting there and I was at the ball field. I took a picture of my, I had this little 110 camera, was taken in my back pocket and exposed the film. I was a Catfish Hunter. And he was so down to earth. He was so just like talking to anybody in the stands. And I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, you want to ring with the A's and you want to ring with the Yankees? He said, yep. I said, we sat down there whenever you could pitch, me and my daddy and my brothers. And we watched all those people and all that pressure. And watch you play magnificently. I said, did you have any fear? And he said, oh yeah, it's natural. I said, well, how did you pitch in the World Series like that, like you did? He said, because when I got up there, I just looked at it as any other game. And if I could do it in the other games, I could do it in this game. Oh, this was the biggest game of the year, the biggest game of the season. I looked at it as the other ones I played all the way up here. And it said, so I didn't let fear take control. Instead, I just focused one man, one strike at a time. And y'all remember how good he was. You see, all of us have fear. But it doesn't have to be part of us. Amen? So we can face our giants with courage and faith because he is for us. He's bigger than any giant that you're ever facing. I'm getting ready to close. I'm going to be coming for landing. Get ready. And so I was landing, yet, but I'm circling the airport. Ready? The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Deuteronomy 28:7.
Yeah.
Life giants, life struggles do not define us. But how we overcome the struggle, how we overcome that giant, that's what defines us in our own eyes. And everybody else's eyes, when they see how you handle the pressure that's put on you. Every giant, every struggle is a chance to learn. To learn is a chance to grow. It's a chance to redefine our absolute limits. It's a chance for us to watch God work for us in a very powerful way, work through us. I love this. Struggles, listen to this, I don't put it in yellow there. Struggles are the chisels that sculpt our life's masterpiece. The struggle you face right now, at this moment that you got in your mind. You're already thinking about it. You're thinking about this. You've already got it there. I don't have to call it out. You know what I'm talking about. The struggle that you're facing right now is your path to growth. First John 4:18. The Bible says, there's no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Let's look at that word fear. There's no fear in love. That word fear is where we get the word phobia. Phobia is listen carefully, phobias are, it's real fear, but it's unrealistic fear. It's unrealistic fear because in proportion to what we're facing, it doesn't even count. I remember my mom used to be scared of snakes. And we were little bitty boys, we'd find this little play snake or a dead snake, and we'd go out along with it, and she would, whew! She'd beat the devil out of us, and the devil would get back in the next time we saw one. And we went to Pamlico County, lived in Mirror. And the first time we saw a snake, Mama called for the man across the street, Sherwood Harris, he owned the store. He come up, and he got that. Mama got that man to kill that snake on our porch. That was the last time. Mama said, I'm protecting my family. And I'm not letting a snake stand in the way. But I remember Mama many times grabbing that hoe and beating that thing. Sometimes I think it died laughing. But she said, I'm overcoming that fear of snakes because my family needed me to. And then, as we got older, we took care of it, the boys. So when you're here right now, you've got giants. And this giant is overwhelming you. It's bringing this trouble in your life that you did not prepare for, that you did not expect. And not realizing that not only you, but your family, like I said before, generations to come, need you to stand up against it. Because the fear you got right now, according to this, is an unrealistic fear. Why? Because God's love, agape, divine love, affection, benevolence, God's love. It's got a hold of you. He said perfect love. That word perfect does not mean without flaw. When God tells us to be perfect, it does not mean to be without flaw because you've got to have grace. But it's teleos, which means to come full circle. You've been there, done that, bought a t-shirt, outgrew it, bought another t-shirt. Now you're right here and you're going, okay, I'm standing now. Like Mama did with that snake. I know I can't always call somebody. I got to take care of my kids. I'll take care of that snake. Perfect love casts out, which means to cast it out and throw away. I love this word, unattached. Some of us have so much fear attached to us. It's like a knapsack. It's like a backpack. We carry with us everywhere we go. We can't talk to people. We can't do things because we've allowed fear to clamp on. Like those big pythons. It's not the poison in their bite. They just suffocate you. They get around you and they suffocate. A chicken snack, it suffocates. Fear does the same thing. It just keeps on and on until it suffocates you. God says his love, what he did on that cross, gives you the power.
Yes.
Gives you the power to break the bonds of that snake that's trying to wrap you up in fear. Because it says that fear that you're experiencing now brings torment. And that literally means to lock up like you're in jail. God's freedom is greater than our fear. That's where this stopped last night, but I got this morning and I said, they can't stop there. They can't. It's got to go. Keep on. I kept feeling the Spirit. The Spirit kept talking, kept talking, kept talking. He said, you can't stop there. You can't stop there. This is leading us into next week. Can you imagine? On one side of the mountain or the other, looking down in the valley and seeing this. Faith is not a magical shield that makes our problems disappear. I gotta say that again. Faith is not a magical shield that makes our problems disappear. It's a deep trust in God that gives us the courage to face our problems, knowing that He is with us and He will help us. Most of the stuff when I'm going through something and I'm trying to help somebody or there's something going on or at the detention center with the deputies, in my own family, in the church, so many times I'll say, God, it'd be a whole lot simpler if you just go whoop and it's gone. And He goes, but you can't grow like that. You can't mature like that. You can't be perfect, meaning not without flaw, but you can't have teleos. Been there, done that, bought a t-shirt, outgrew it, bought another t-shirt, and now I'm ready for battle. Wow. Faith doesn't eliminate giants or fear in our lives, but it gives us strength to face them with the assurance that all everybody else is on each side going up and down. Some are going up in their life, some are coming down, but they're not helping you. Alone. I've told y'all about this so many times. When I was a chaplain at Pittsburgh Hospital, pulling 12-hour shifts, and I remember I had all kinds of pagers on, and my name be called over the loudspeaker for Harley Code Blue. I had to go, but I was already, one was Code Blue, one was for counseling. You know, one day I knocked in, one guy said, man, you got about five pagers on. What's that pager for? And I wore a suit and had the white coat, looked like a doctor. And they asked me, said, I see all those pagers. What's that for? I said, this is the Code Blue. This is counseling. And this one here is the emergency room where they've got trauma. I said, yeah, no, what's that for? I said, that one tells me that my wife needs me to bring home some eggs when I come home. And I remember Greenville was a big trauma center. And I told you that one night when I ministered like 56, 57 people, had seven deaths. And these roller skates, I was going back and forth, and only had seconds when you walked in the room to be able to read the room, to know who to talk to and what to say. I will say, God, I need you. I say, God, I'm going by myself, but I'm not alone. I know you got me. And I would talk to God all the way to wherever I had to go in that hospital. I would talk to God. I say, God, you're already there. You're already over there. You know what's going on. You know what I'm going to need to do. You know who I need to talk to. You know what I'm going to have to say and have to pray. You already know that, so now, God, I need to connect with you. I can either just stay in that little room and act like I didn't hear it, or I can get up and do what I'm supposed to do. And you'll be with me.
Yes.
And He never, one time, failed.
Yes, hallelujah.
Never took it away, but He never failed. God's got us. Tomorrow at work, if you have to go to work tonight, whatever you have to do, God is with you. That family problem that you're trying to figure out, God is with you.
Yes.
You may feel like you're standing in the valley, and there's all these people. There's your family members. Some are going up in life, some are coming down, but you're right there in the middle, and you're fighting that giant all by yourself. Just remember, you're not by yourself.
Yes.
God's got you. Everybody standing. God didn't just wake up this morning and go, oh God, the world's going to be in as bad a shape. He already knew when he wrote, when he spoke the very first words to put the world into existence. He already knew. He was so powerful that the Bible says in Revelation that Jesus, the Lamb who was slain before the very foundation of the world, means that before he ever spoke that first word to create the worlds, the divine council got together and the Father looked over at the Spirit and the Son and said, oh, these people are going to go crazy on us. I'm going to give them free will, but they're going to go crazy. And they got Satan agitating them to make it worse. He says, they're going to need a redeemer. What are we going to do? Jesus said, I'll go. I'll take care of business. And so before the world ever was spoken out of God's mouth, Jesus was as good as put on that cross. Because once he says it, he does it. God's got you. Don't let fear take you. Don't let fear consume you and put you, stop you dead in your tracks. Our God is more powerful than any giant that you're facing. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today, and you would say, Pastor, I got some giants. I got some woozies. I got some things going on that I don't know how in the world to get out of. I don't know how in the world to make it because these giants are so big and so devastating. And they've already won many battles against me. And I so dearly want to stand up and say, the buck stops here, the buck stops today, but I'm letting that fear overtake me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The very first question. It's got to be the first question is, do you need a closer relationship with God? Either you don't know him or you let giants come in your life and make you doubt God. And doubt your relationship and doubt his protection. Well, you thought, man, faith was a magic shield that would just make it all go away. And you turned away from God. But now you're saying, I need to get my act back together with God. Nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. But you put that hand up and say, I need it. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Maybe you're here today. You believe that you're on the right path. But the giants keep coming. And you need God to strengthen you. To help you. In a very powerful way today. If I'm talking to you, you need God to do it again for you. Nobody looking around every eye closed. You put that hand up. Hands go in the mirror. I need God to do it again. Let's pray together. Father, I rededicate my life to you. God, I know the times are hard. And I know that Satan is on the loose. And I know he's afraid of what's coming. And so he tries to make me fear instead. When I'm standing, I'm believing. I rededicate my life to you. And I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus. Maybe right now. You just feel a little consumed. The giant that you're fighting is a different one. It's not the same as you've been fighting before and got used to. Kind of like COVID. First time COVID came along, they figured it out and got medicine for it. It came another strain and they had to go with a different kind of medicine. And another strain, a different kind of medicine. One flu, got medicine, but it never counted for the next one. Right now, you've had the giants, and had the giants, and had the giants, and now there's one that you're not sure. We're going to believe God right now that he bolsters you, that he lifts you up, and he shows something very powerful in your life today. Father, I thank you for this body of believers. And I thank you, God, that we're not here by ourselves. We got each other, but we've got you. And we know, God, that there's nothing impossible for you. We trust you. We trust your timing. Lord, help us to be willing to stand in that valley. It's all by ourselves. Stand in that valley and take on that giant for our family.
Yes, yes.
And for our family's future.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you. Amen. Now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Now, after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Our Father God, it is a pleasure and honor to be able to stand for you today and just thank you for all the blessings of life. Thank you for your mercy and grace that you pour out upon us. Father, we thank you for the fact that we don't have to be fearful of anything, Lord.
Yes.
Because we've got you on our side.
Yes.
As we depart these doors now, Father, let us take us by the hand, Father, and lead us through the world and spread thy word, Father.
Yes.
Bring us back at the next appointed time. This and all things I always ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. And to this I do say amen and amen.
Amen. How
are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm good. Oh, nice.